Yo, what's going on, man? This is E-Dub, and we are back with another episode of Who Got Next. I got somebody who's been in here with me before, but he wasn't in here alone. He was actually with a few of my other biz partners, I guess you would like to say, but I wanted to bring him in on a solo tip, man. We got Lex in here. What's going on, man?
What's up, E? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing all right, doing all right. Just wanted to talk to you. I know you kind of what we alluded to before. On a previous show, we all are doing different things. We all got different things going on. So I want to kind of touch on that. It's not just about what you've done in the past with the sneakers and stuff like that. But just like me, just like you, we all have our own vision and some of the things that we want to do. So I wanted to kind of talk to you about what you have going on. I guess to give a little brief summary, Lex is 1/4 of the freshman, along with myself, Osan, doing Dex. But, of course, he's been in Charlotte for a while, went to school here. Yeah. So he's kind of seen the influx and the change of what Charlotte is going through. And he's trying to be a part of it, trying to be a part of the move, too, just like myself and everybody else. But just wanted to touch to him, just talk to him about a few things, man. I guess the cliche answer, what brought you to Charlotte initially?
College. So I'm from the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So went to John F. Kennedy High School in Silver Spring, Maryland. Graduated high school 01, and I wanted to get away from the area. I wanted to get away from my family. Kind of was forced out, but, took some college tours like most. And of all the schools, the black colleges in Virginia and North Carolina, and I fell in love with Johnson C. Smith. Ended up going there, graduating. 05 and decided to stay in Charlotte, man.
For real, yes. You making a life here. So with you going to, and what year was it again?
I graduated 05.
So you was here in, you graduated college 05?
Yeah.
All right, so that means you got here around like 01?
Yep.
01, 02. Okay, so talk about how Charlotte was then compared to now, just as far as the visual of it.
Yeah. Charlotte was super slow. I just remember like my orientation walking downtown, and like there was no Epicenter, there was no light rail. Obviously, there was some of those skyscrapers hadn't even been built yet. I want to say the grounds on where the Epicenter is used to be like the old convention center. Like I think around that time, like 2001, but it was different. But I knew it was something that I needed at the time. I needed kind of like a distraction-free city, because growing up in D.C., it was always something to do. Like,
right.
I just remember, like, I don't know how my parents allowed me to do this, just roam the streets at night. Not like
not bad,
on foot, but like I used to hang out with my big cousins, and we used to just, you know what I'm saying, parking lot pimp, so to speak. I'm 17, 18 years old in high school on weekends. We used to just ride through the city and just see the vibe. But Charlotte wasn't that, you know what I mean? It was really different. It was this slow country city. But I feel like it's definitely made waves now in present time.
Facts. So after you graduated, you started working at Johnson C. Smith, right?
Correct.
In admissions.
Right.
So how was that experience relating to you just finding your way in adulthood?
Yeah.
Being out of school and stuff like that.
So funny story. I'll give you some context. I'll go back. So when I was in college, I was a communication arts major. I did basically like television, radio production. That was my goal. So, you know, Duke University internship, Fox 50 in Durham, Carolina Panthers, ESPN in Ballantyne, like all that stuff. So I wanted to get in that realm. I was offered a job at Fox in New York in Long Island, like my senior year, right before I graduated. And I was like, man, I heard New York is expensive. I ain't got no family in New York. Right. Like, I want to stay in this place where I felt like I built these connections. You know, I mean, my senior year, I got Carolina Panthers and ESPN. So I'm like, sports. Like, I'm a sports head. Like, I'm going to try this out first. And it really didn't work. ESPN kept me on, like, freelance. And I would do that on weekends, which was good money. And I got hired on at JCSU. So it didn't happen right away. It happened, like, 2 or 3 months after I graduated. I remember in my little, you know, apartment in South Park, because I was trying to be bougie, or South Side. I wasn't living in South Park, South Charlotte.
Close enough.
Close enough. Right. Adjacent, if you will. I just remember, like, I'll never forget this day, E. It was, like, a struggle day. Like my little graduation money had ran out. I had, like, a little summer job. It was coming to an end. I remember one of those days, like, crying on my steps, eating peanut butter and jelly. Like, yo, this can't be life. Like, I chose this, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I bet on myself, you know what I mean? And I just remember, like, I'll never forget that day. I just remember, like, eating a sandwich, crying, like, yo, I'm going to go outside, breathe, and everything going to be all right. And things just came into play. So, you know, the cliche is not what you know, it's who you know. So I got on at Smith. The same lady who accepted me into the school offered me my first job. Like, so when I was at, you know, Smith, I was an ambassador. So you know how that go. Like, big groups come. And obviously, like most HBCUs in the South, the DMV is a huge presence. So
huge
every time.
Huge recruiting.
So it's strategic to put one of your own in front of a group. So they be like, yo, if you like it down here, you cool, whatever, whatever. So I just remember, like, doing a bunch of those tours. And she gave me a call over the summer. Her name is Jocelyn. Shout out to her, man, because, again, like, I felt like she helped. I know she gave me my start. And she was like, call me to her office. And I'm like, man, I ain't trying to do no tour over the summer. I just graduated.
Right.
And I never forget, I walked in there. She smiled at me. I smiled at her. And she was like, you found a job yet? And I was like, no. And the rest was history. Like, she was like, this is what we can offer you. This is what you'll be doing. I called my family. They was like, take it.
You know right. <what I'm> yeah.
But it was dope because I got to recruit other people that looked like me to come to my HBCU. And again, present day HBCUs are in the forefront now thanks to all these celebrities and Baychella, whatever want to call it. But, you know, it's an authentic feeling for me because, like, I lived it, I promoted it, and I executed it because I was a part of some of the biggest classes that ever came through JCSU from behind the desk. Like, there's people that are my friends now that, like, bro, like, you came to my school in Richmond, Virginia, or I met you at a college fair in Denver, Colorado, or I remember meeting you in Kansas City, Missouri, or Newport News, Virginia. Like, stuff like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, stories upon stories, man. But it was dope. So, yeah, that was my first job.
And that's, and I think that's the advantage that we have as being alum of HBCUs, because we are more present in these communities and in these schools compared to a PWI.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the story that you told about sitting on the steps, a lot of us have those stories.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen next, because again, when you're going into college, I don't know if you probably had the same thought I did going into school, but I had that different world mentality. I had the school days mentality.
Fun fact, embarrassing fact, I never watched Different World.
Damn.
Don't tell nobody that. It was too late.
Oh,
my bad though.
But you understand the
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I won't crack no jokes.
I hope they don't kill me in the comments.
They're going to kill you. Oh. They're going to kill you for that, cuz that's a rite of passage. But but you understand the dynamic of that.
Absolutely.
As far as, like, understanding what you think is going to look like. And to an extent, it did. But, of course, you know, they stretched it, you know, a little bit because they had to build a storyline.
Right.
So graduating, you're looking back at your 4 years and you're saying to yourself, okay, I feel I've done everything to prepare myself for the next level, but when is it going to come? How is it going to come? And what do I have to do to make it come? So I think how you was thinking is how everybody thought. So salute to Jocelyn.
Jocelyn, yep.
Salute to her for looking out for you on that.
Yep.
And it kind of I guess that kind of segues into my other part of what I wanted to kind of talk to you about. So you had this vision, you had this idea about what you thought was going to happen as far as when you graduated college.
Yeah.
But you see, life took you a different direction. Right. And I would like to say that's probably your calling. Just knowing you after all of these years,
yeah.
that kind of was a stepping stone in some of the things that you're doing now. So,
yeah.
How was your experience within your tenure as being an admissions at John C. Smith, and how that prepared you for other things?
Yeah, I mean, what you just said really is spot on. Like, it's like I had this goal, you know, do this in the major or do that in the field. And like present day, what I do now, working for a nonprofit, helping, you know, at-risk students not only graduate on time, but figure out life after high school, and mm-hmm. exposing them, you know, to college tours, college fairs, helping them with the application process. Yeah, I'm essentially doing what somebody did for me.
Right.
And again, I'm going to keep using the word authentic. It's mm-hmm. authentic. Like, I do come from a single family household, like first one in my family to go to college, like lived in poverty. Like I tell my students all the time at the school I work at, like, yo, y'all see the current day, Mr. Bibbs, but like, bro, I'm just like you. Like had issues at the crib, like was exposed to things I probably shouldn't have been exposed to at an early age, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a plan, I got away, I executed that plan, I networked, I pledged the fraternity, you know what I'm saying? I got involved and I did those things, but working at that school definitely shaped me because it gave me experience to what I'm doing now. So, I mean, essentially what I'm doing now, again, like I said, is helping kids, but I had no idea in those days, 05, 06, 07, like hopping on planes, going to these schools, not knowing that one day I'll be on the other side of that, like
mm-hmm.
welcoming in a college recruiter. Like, it's so funny, like when colleges come to me, I'm already preparing. They're like, you've done this before. Like I have. Yeah. I used to be you, so I know what you need. I know the things you need or whatever, but it really molded me and shaped me, man, and just my whole experience at that small school, you mm-hmm. know. Like, you know, I tell my students I'm pro HBCU. Like,
right.
Forget the whole myth about it's not diverse. It very much so diverse.
Right.
And see, people, and this is a whole nother segue, E, people just say HBCUs aren't diverse. Think back to when you was at Fayetteville State. It wasn't all black professors, right?
It was not.
Or African American, whatever the political.
It was not.
Bro, it was all kind of professors. That's mm-hmm. diversity within itself.
Right.
Diversity of background, thought, ethnicity, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, I mean, I laugh at that because I share an office with somebody that went to Carolina. You know what I'm saying? I share an office with somebody that went to the University of Kentucky.
And it sounds like.
And we all doing the same job.
Exactly, and they probably wanted that experience, going to an HBCU learning how that whole process worked because they understand there's a different world out there.
But I don't knock, because my wife went to UNC Charlotte. I don't knock PWIs.
Mm-hmm, me neither.
My whole thing is fit. You know what I'm saying? My sister is gearing up for college, and my dad is trying to sway her to a black college. She's thinking about PWI. And really, the commonality is wherever she going to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because everybody don't fit.
Bro, because people always ask me, like, how did you land at JCSU? I tell everybody, we went to all the black colleges in North Carolina that spring, and I felt like I was at Bel Air. Like, you know, like Fresh Prince, he got out of the
right,
cab.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, dude, like, the bus parked. I tell this story to the T. It was looking, facing Betty's Ford Road. I turned around. I did, like, a 180. I looked back. I say, yo, this is it. Before anybody said a word, it was just that innate gut feeling. Mm-hmm. You know how you feel something?
Exactly.
Like, this is it. I was like, and it was fate because the night before I talked to my mom and she was like, you got this letter in the mail from some school, C. Smith. I was like, what? I was like, oh, Johnson C. Smith. We're going there tomorrow. Open it. Mm-hmm. I got accepted the night before.
Oh, wow.
Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? The night before I visited campus.
Exactly.
And I just knew. And no knock to Winston, Fayetteville, A&T, Central.
You knew what you wanted.
It was the fit, bro. And then the dude who did the tour, again, everything just full circle. He has so much charisma, so much personality. He made me feel like I was at home.
So you kind of touched on it when you were talking about PWI. So you took a leap. You took a leap.
Absolutely.
You went from Johnson C. Smith to Davidson. That was around the time that was around the time you and I had got to know each other. So I think you was at that pinnacle in your life where you said, okay, I feel I fulfilled my destiny. you know, at Johnson C. Smith. So let me try something else. So I decided. So you decided to go to Davidson.
Right.
So how was that experience? How was that experience Ooh. For you? I know the stories, but how was that experience?
It was a great experience. No experience is a bad experience. That's what I'm learning mm-hmm. in life with anything, and I'm sure we'll talk more about being an entrepreneur later, and that's what I'm learning. Fact. But, you know, when you get hired at 21, 22 years old, right out of college, mm-hmm. and you spend 5 years there, I mean, that would put you at 26, 27.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I was good at my job at JCSU, but it was said in so many ways that we just don't see ourselves promoting a young 20-something-year-old director. Mm-hmm. And that hurt, you know what I'm saying? But we all know sometimes in order to grow, you have to step out.
Right.
Step out of that box. Step out of what's comfortable. And, I mean, my whole life is, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So my line brother, shout out to Jerome, mm-hmm. his sister, Sarbev. Shout out to Sarbev. She was working at Davidson at the time. And in so many words, she was advocating for them to diversify their admissions office. Mm-hmm. She wanted more people that looked like her.
Right.
Basically, man, like, you know, hey, we're hiring. I think you should apply. You know, let me help you with this.
Let's see what's up.
And I got on. It was great. For me, it just didn't – over time, I just didn't feel like I didn't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, Davidson was great. It was great experience, something to put on my resume, great institution. You know, I often think, like, man, did I leave too early? But you can never question, like, your moves. I left when I left, mm-hmm. and I left how I left. I left on my own terms. Right. I actually left Davidson without even having another job to go to. Mm-hmm. I just knew I didn't want to be an admissions counselor anymore. Or be an admissions counselor in that realm in a sense of, like, when I would meet students, like, and I'm going to say his name and I'm going to shout him out. Like, I think about kids like this kid named Bishop Walker from Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And Bishop, his grandma, like, went to Smith. She was on the first Delta line at Smith. Mm-hmm. Now, coming out of high school, Bishop's grades wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. But I advocated for this kid. I met this kid on the road. We connected. And I pushed him. Like, we need to accept this kid. He's a legacy. His grandma was on the first. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Man, Bishop came to Smith. Did his thing 4 years after Smith went to Howard, bro.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I believe he got his master's in divinity or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I go from situations like Bishop to, like, meeting kids that if they potentially didn't get into Davidson, they'll still land on their feet at Western Carolina.
Right.
Or this school or that school. And that was cool because that's where they come from. But I'm used to, man.
You advocated for kids that need a shot. It just
that looked like me that had the same story as me that messed up. And I will always think about that. Like, man, like, I'm meeting these kids that got these perfect GPAs and this still not good enough to sometimes get into schools like this. And I get why they're very selective. I'm not knocking that process. But, mm-hmm. like, man, I miss helping those kids and working with those families and just having that moment. Like, dang, I remember meeting you, you know, doing this and now you're about to graduate. So, yeah, it was a good experience. It was something to put on my resume. But, again, every step of the journey made sense, and it helped because that name mm-hmm. on my resume, Davidson, is huge.
Right.
And, you know, when I was able to submit my resume to go on to the next thing, you know, it's like, you know, I think it opened some people's eyes. Like, let me check this kid out. And if you give me a shot in the interview, I feel like, you know.
It's on after that.
Like Logo Dame out there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. All shots of money.
Yeah. Ain't no bad shot, Paul George.
Even though I thought it was a bad shot, but I get where we
were. I mean.
It was a low percentage shot compared to who
he made it. He made it. It's just like when somebody goes for a two-point conversion and they make it.
Right.
It was a good call, but if they don't make it, what are you thinking?
And he had the balls to do it. So, yeah. I mean, that's a salute to
Dame Dollar. Made that reference.
No, it makes sense. It fits with what we're talking about. Yeah. So you taking that next step again.
Yeah.
It's going. Now you didn't go back into post college. You took it. You decided, let me try to reach those kids before they on a decision they're trying to make. Let me help them. So you decide to go back into the high school system.
Like, man.
You got a heck of a story, man.
I do. And I do believe my Heavenly Father loves me dearly because I walked out on faith. And at the time, I tell people I really didn't. I didn't have as much faith as I do now. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I left. I left Davidson. I didn't have a job. I really didn't save because at that time I was just, like, buying every sneaker that came out because that's what we did back then. I was young and dumb with my money. You know what I'm saying? And I got a little part-time job just to make some money. My wife now, who was my girl at the time, she was like, we'll figure it out together. You know what I mean? So
that's what's up.
She held me down. And a good friend, classmate almost, well, Jessica's not my classmate, but we was in class together. Jessica Williams, hey, Miss Jessica, girl next door. She worked for my current organization.
For Power 98.
Power 98. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So who's like a ridiculous, like, legacy for Smith. Like, all her family went to Smith.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Jessica. But she invited me over to her school to speak. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was like, what is this? And she was like, well, I'm creating this panel because the movie Think Like a Man was coming out.
Right.
So she was like, I want some men to come up here and answer some questions for these young ladies. I'm like, middle school girls? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, like, understand. That's my way out of it, but understand.
Right.
So she was like, it's going to be you, No Limit Larry, this Panther player, and this model. I'm like, Jessica, I'm unemployed
right
now.
You asking me?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But she said these words, Lex, but you're perfect for it. You know what I mean? So, like, I kind of unqualified myself because I didn't have a title. I was unemployed, right? But technically, I had a job, but I just didn't want to talk about that job.
Facts.
Go to this joint, kill it, my part of the panel. Little did I know, my next supervisor was in the crowd. She was like, yo, you did great. Your friend Jessica told me that you are unemployed right now. Send me your resume.
So she pretty much put you in position to,
amen,
unbeknownst to you.
Pretty much. You know what I'm saying? But again, like, I could have really unqualify myself, like, man, I ain't going to this, or let my friend down. But it was like, yo, I said yes to an opportunity, and I really didn't know what was going to happen. And
then you went on the strength of your friend because
yeah.
Y'all are friends. y'all are friends.
But then, you know, it didn't happen right away. But, like, I think like a month or so later, I got an interview, and then that's when I got on with communities and schools, the people I work for now, and I was over at West Charlotte for a couple years, and then I left that and. Chasing money, went and worked somewhere else, left 6 months after that and came back to communities and schools. So, man, my story is crazy.
But it always keeps leading you back to places where you know that you could be a service.
My heart is helping. In advocating for younger people that look like me, younger people with stories like me. And I don't feel like I work, man. I don't. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not saying that to boast. It does feel like work because I have a lot of tasks and I'm responsible for a lot of young adults, young teenagers. But, man, I'm doing what I love. You know what I mean? And it's cool. And I get to be me doing it, you know?
Facts. So I just want to kind of give that backstory. Let you kind of speak, you know, let you kind of speak on that because I think it kind of gives a shell of, you know, where you've been and where you're trying to go, which kind of leads me into the conversation where I want to talk, you know, kind of talk to you about things. So within the midst of you, you know, doing things with the kids and advocating for people that look like you, you also have this entrepreneurial side. And I think that's where you and I connect. Yep. And I had connected. From that standpoint of just meeting you and knowing Dex and meeting Osanda with the...
Happy birthday, Dex.
Yeah, happy birthday, man. So by the time you hear this, it'll probably be...
Yeah. You'd be...
It'd be like a month probably down the line, but yeah.
Happy birthday, brother.
Yeah, happy birthday, man.
Good dude, man. Shout out to Osanda as well.
Facts. So, when you get to this point of, you know, the entrepreneurial side is what I want to talk to you about when it comes to Charlotte. Yeah. So where do you think... I guess let's start with you. So you kind of... You did parties.
Yeah.
You did parties. You kind of started.
I tried everything. But that's how you connect
with people. Yeah. So I think with that, you kind of made a lot of connections with that. And it kind of, that kind of jump started the entrepreneurial thing about, okay, I know there's other ways to make some money. Yeah. So let's think about how we're going to do this.
Yeah. So, like around 07, 08, like most young professionals, you're out. You're young, you're single. Mm-hmm. Singles and not married. What most young professionals do, you go out on the weekends, you hang out. And at the time, what was that spot called off South Boulevard? It was like a cigar lounge slash like club. And I just remember going to this party. It was kind of whack. And I was like, man, I can do this. I can get people to come to parties. Mm-hmm. Little did I know parties are hard. And just because you know people, that don't mean they're going to come. You know what I'm saying?
Trust me, I know.
So I went from calling a party whack to throwing a bunch of whack parties. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to be honest. But it did help me meet a lot of people. And I forget how many people I met over the years because of either the parties I've attended or, like, the parties I've thrown. Like to this day, like, I still have a relationship with JK, the photographer. Mm-hmm. I met him at a mass party back in the day. Like, he takes pictures of mostly all my merch. Mm-hmm. But that was a relationship through the party scene. Right. You know what I'm saying? Long time ago, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I definitely did used to throw a lot of parties. We had a group, Four Horsemen Entertainment, so shout out to Marcus.
Shout out to Four Horsemen. I remember
Gil and Viticus. And we had some success, but we had some challenges as well. Like, kind of with the freshmen, you know what I mean? Sometimes things go different directions and life happens, you know.
Right.
People go in different directions, people, you know, lifestyles change or whatever, but we had some fun, man. And that was a unique time in my life, just because, like, you know, yeah, I was throwing parties with them, but I was the youngest in the group. Mm-hmm. And you know, we never really got, we had conversations, but I looked up to those guys because they were all older than me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would, you know, find, you know, different things to learn from them to be a man, you know what I'm saying, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But those were those days, man. So now it's really like maybe 2-3 times a year, like seasons of a year. So obviously I help the school with like homecoming events. Mm-hmm. And we've found a lot of success, and it's funny, man. I'm really starting to have the parties that I dreamed about, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember like dreaming about having a party at World. Mm-hmm. Or label, whatever you want to call it. And now I'm helping the school throw these parties. Or right. Like, I remember, shout out to Kitch, man. I remember like being a fan of his. Now that's my peer. You know what I'm saying? I'm still a fan, don't get me wrong, but I remember like going to his Pop Life events, like, dang, I just want to meet this dude. Like, but like, he looked like he too busy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now we be texting each other like crazy stuff, like, man, getting on each other's nerves. But I just remember being on the sideline, like, dag, like, yo, this dude is moving and shaking in the city. Mm-hmm. And now, again, like, that's big bro. Like, I can text him right now, call him right now. Mm-hmm. And if he's not too busy, like, he's always fake busy. He'll hit me back, you know what I'm saying? But that's big bro, man. And I say all that to say, E, like, everything is a process. Like, again, we have these thoughts and these visions and, like, oh, I want this to go this way. Or, you know what I mean? I want this showcase to go this way, or this party to go this way, or this piece of merch to go this way. But every little thing connects the dots to something bigger. It's a puzzle, man. We're all putting together a puzzle.
I agree. And
we're
all
putting together puzzles.
And I think with the puzzle, we still don't know what the other piece is out there. And I think, and you kind of touched on it. You mentioned people like Kitch. You
yep.
mentioned Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
You mentioned these people in Maz.
Yep.
They all started, I'm not going to say started around the same time, but I remember seeing the growth. Like, I remember, honestly, I remember the beginning processes.
Yeah.
Not knowing them personally, bro. But just, you know, being, you know, just paying attention to things. And you're seeing you're seeing where they started and you're seeing where they've gone, which I always applaud that story way even more, because being here for 12 years now, everybody that people are talking about now, I'm like, bro.
I remember when.
This shit didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is a prime example of it not happening overnight. I've seen these guys yeah. and women from the beginning.
Bro, like,
trying to figure it out.
Like, my pastor, he said in an illustration once, like, yeah, we're not where we want to be, but sometimes we have to look back and, like, I've come a long way. I'm not where I used to be. So you can apply that to any aspect in life, to your faith, to your health, to the decisions, to your savings, to relationships, to this podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, you probably remember a time where it was just a thought on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Now you've interviewed countless people, and now I'm back. You know what I'm saying? Like, privileged to be here, but it's like sometimes we have to take the turns back and just look and just say, man, like, yeah, like, you know,
I see how I got here.
Yeah, one of the best gifts I got for Christmas this year was a notepad, and it was a notepad, but like a calendar. And so, I try to write two or three things down, like what happened in the day, good or bad. So it's like that. I found a new vendor today to use for my merchandise, or I found this today, or you know what, today was a bad day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I can look back on it and be like, man. Like, I made some strides this year. When I think I'm having a bad day, like, right, man, actually, like, I'm really having a good day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I made strides, if that makes sense, man. So we have to live in gratitude, and we have to look back and see how far we've come.
Facts. So now, here we go.
Here we go.
Now we're here at the part that I'm very happy for you about. Yeah. The Smith gear.
Smith.
Again, I remember when you first started talking about it. You were like, man, I'm thinking about putting some things together. I want to say the first thing, correct me if I'm wrong, was it the hat that you did kind of first, that you kind of put out there first?
It was a shirt.
A shirt, okay.
It was a shirt. So around 2015, fall 2015, I'll tell you how it all came about. Me and a friend, Mike Paul. I hate you, Mike, by the way. You know why. We had a homecoming party, and we called it Smith. You know how you have these, like, aha moments? And I knew we called it Smith for years and all that stuff. It was something about seeing it on paper. And the party was dope. And about a week after the party, I said, man, I want to put this on a shirt. I just want to try it. Like, I grew up in D.C. where, like, there was We Are One and Madness. You probably saw a lot of that gear at Fayetteville from, like, the D.C. Cats.
Definitely, like, definitely saw Shooters.
Shooters, Sabiato. So I grew up in that. You know what I'm saying? I grew up where, like, in D.C., like, everybody had, like, a clothing line. You know what I'm saying? And so I never really dreamt about a clothing line, but I was like, yo, like, I want to try it. So at the time, I was heavy into the DCCIV line, and that group. I was buying a lot of the stuff from Black Sheep, and I don't know how I met Miss Amy. I can't remember how. Maybe just like wearing that stuff and tagging them, and that's how we became cool. And I was like, yo, I like these shirts. I like the way they fit. I got an idea. So the first thing was a collab, essentially, because it was like, I used the Crown. I used the DCCIV. That got me in the door.
Right.
So the shirts came first around like Black Friday 2014, 2015. And then the hats came, I want to say, that fall. But, man, it was underground. Then, like, people were like, I want to buy it, but where's the website? I'm like, man, like, nah, just send me a DM. And, like, I'll send you a PayPal request. Because in my head, Eric, I'm like, man, the school going to shut me down. So I, like, you know how, like, you put your foot in the water, like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
My foot is in the water. I'm going to see if y'all going to say something.
Right.
I'm going to put 2 feet in there now. I'm good.
Right.
But that's how it started, man. And 4 or 5 years later, man, it's trademark. It's doing well.
Exactly. So talk just the entrepreneurial side. So how tough is it? Because, I mean, I do shirts too, but not to what you had. So I've had some success with the Charlotte by Nature.
Yep.
Great success, actually. But again, the challenge, and I'll tell it up here, the challenge that I run into with that is production.
Yeah.
Production and time. Because you look on one side, first starting out, you're trying to front everything, you're trying to do everything yourself, but at the same time, when you're doing this, you're trying to prepare yourself for your orders.
Yeah.
Like, look, okay, I know I could produce these amount of shirts with this amount of money on my own, but I want to be sure to recoup, recoup what I have, you know, what I have. But that doesn't always work out, you know, the way you want it to. So just kind of talk about how the whole process is with that, and you know how you got the mindset of making it happen.
It's tough. And I can go down a list, but I'm enjoying it more now. Not because it's more successful now, mm-hmm. but like I've transitioned from this being like a hobby and like a play project to like, yo, I'm gonna treat this joint like a business. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've got a trademark. Part of the trademark is like these agreements, lawyer fees, stuff like that. I'm an entrepreneur, but I also have a full-time job.
Right.
I also am an assistant basketball coach. Also, I'm a full-time husband. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have to find time. In the 24-hour day, how much time am I going to commit to this today? Mm-hmm. Or how much time am I going to do to that? But the biggest thing for me is, like, because I'm a creative, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
You are, though. See, you try to you be selling yourself short there. You are a creative. You try to be real modest about it, but maybe you do believe that. But I truly don't believe that.
But I say that to like the hardest part for me is like the ideas that are in my head, executing them to paper, mm-hmm. to production, to the consumer. You know what I'm saying? So like I got this idea in my head. All right, bet. How can I just designed a soccer jersey, right? Mm-hmm. Breaking news. I just designed a soccer jersey.
You're just trying to hit all sports. Huh? Okay. I got you.
It's just two sports so far. But in my head was this idea. Mm-hmm. The guy that produced it for me, he lives in another state. So we're texting I'm sending him voice notes. I'm taking pictures of stuff. And I'm trying to make sure he gets every element. That's why I say I'm not a creative. I have ideas, right. But I'm not the one that's on the computer designing it, moving it this way. I'm kind of like the middle person, like, yo, this is what I want. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because I respect the creatives. I'm not that guy that, like, I get inspired by stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's like I'm not the guy on the computer putting all this stuff together.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I just went all over the place with that, man, but
I mean, no, you kind of touched on a good point. Like, yeah. I said, I want to still stick to that point about you not thinking that you're creative. I want to play something for you.
Lex has the talent and just I'm going to make up a word, draw ability. I don't know what the word, but people are drawn to Lex.
He know how to talk to people. I give it to him.
So many things. I just don't know if he has the desire or just the will, but Lex can literally be one of the greatest people Charlotte has ever had as a citizen.
Now that right there, this is a peer.
Yeah.
This is a peer saying it. Shout out to Wilmo.
Yeah, shout out to Wilmo.
I wanted to play that for you. Yeah. You knew where I was going with it.
I knew exactly where you were going with it.
But I wanted to play that for you because it's kind of harping on what we're talking about. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like I said, just me knowing you over knowing you over these years, I've always had that to say about you. I said, if Lex don't have anything, I said he knows how to talk to people.
Yeah.
You got people that had the gift of gab, but you have people that actually believe what
my line name is. The Negotiator.
It's crazy. That's one of my older frat brothers, which is crazy. Yeah, yeah. But it fits. Yeah. It fits because you can have those conversations with people that you are very engaging and people actually listen. Like I ain't gonna say you sugarcoat anything, but you're very easy to listen to. You know, I think you get your words across, you get what you're saying across and people adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like what Wilmo was saying is like, it's kind of like,
he called me out, man. He put me on that summer jam screen, man.
He called you out, but that was a good, it wasn't
absolutely. It was a big up. It was a big up.
It was a big up.
It was, something that he told me about it before I even heard it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I honestly, man, I was in my little office working on stuff and I listened to it like three times. Mm-hmm. And then I played it for my wife, Tiff. And I was like, all right. You know, it was just one of those moments, like, all right.
Let me do what I need to do to make
this
happen.
But, you know.
But you need people like that.
You do. But bear with me for one second as I try to make that make sense. Like, I heard him. I hear other people. Carrick, too. Carrick be calling me out. Carrick be, you know what I'm saying?
And shout out to my boy Carrick.
And these are all, like you said, like, amazing. They're peers, but they're amazing brothers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And iron sharpens iron. And, you know, and I've heard that from you, and I've heard that from Dex, and I've heard of Sandu. I'm getting there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's a balance of, like, a process, but it's also a balance of timing, too. Mm-hmm. And I know what I have now, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Not saying that I didn't know. We can't see ourselves. I can't see me unless I look in the mirror. You exactly. can't see you unless you look in the mirror. I don't know how you view me. Mm-hmm. And I believe every person has a glitch. And I'm not saying that's my glitch. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's my hiccup. I think it's a good thing to have sometimes when I'm humble. But it's like, I'm trying to say it how it's in my head.
No, I get
but
what
it,
I,
but
I,
but it's
you know that the potential is there based off of
yeah.
everything that you're doing. Yeah. But at times you be so immersed with what you have going yeah. on because you are married. You are married. You have a job,
yeah.
a full time job. At
full time job,
and you also are trying to your full time job goes past when you clock out.
Bro, my full time job is so heartfelt.
Yeah, you and got your emotions is tied yeah, to it it's because it's your passion.
It's not a traditional 9 to 5 where like I get there at 9, I leave at 4:59, 5:05, and I get to go home and do whatever.
Yeah, like, you're trying to balance yeah. both, which is very difficult.
I'm not
saying it's difficult to do, but it takes a lot.
It's not, but like honestly, the last 2 calendar years have probably been the most grueling but rewarding years of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, if I could just be honest, right. like, if I laid out to you and this audience on this platform, like, work, coaching, husband, faith-based commitments, mm-hmm. alumni commitments, vice president of my chapter, you know, business, that sometimes can come last. And again, I made this transition in my head. Like again, I see it now. I feel it now. Mm-hmm. I know what I have now.
Right.
Because the people are responding differently now to my merch.
They are.
To my programs or to these events and stuff like that. And so I'll tell you this, man. We're only 4 months into the year. I'm doing so well that this is by far to date will be the best year in my company. 4 years in already, and mm-hmm. I'm almost top any other year.
I mean, listen, I believe it took
strategy. It took like, okay, with all this stuff you got going on, and sometimes I can be lazy. I'm human, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But again, working, coaching, faith-based, full-time husband, alumni commitment, sometimes that brand comes last. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because it's online. It's not a store. It's not something that I'm going to check in at every day on this street or whatever. It's all self, but it's like in those things, it's like I got a book full of ideas. I got a book full of stuff. So to like Wilmo's comment, I be telling him like, bro, I got some stuff cooking. Mm-hmm. I just ain't put it out there yet. But what he challenged me and what I respect is like, bro, do more. Like, yeah, you hitting home runs, but do more. And that's what everybody else is like, we want to see more. So now that's why you see the Black History Month rollout. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Which was one of my most successful things.
That was dope.
Thank you. That's why you see.
Coming from a Bronco.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that.
That was dope.
I appreciate that. But I'm so proud of that campaign, that rollout, because mm-hmm. I thought of it, and it was one of those aha moments, like, yo, I think I got something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got everything ready before Black History Month started. I took the photos and everything. I pressed the button before we jumped on the plane to fly to New Orleans that weekend. Mm-hmm. Here go. Let's see what happens.
Sink or swim.
And the people responded. And I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they digging it. Like, they loving it. And I was so proud because sometimes – and again, when you're an entrepreneur, there's going to be some wins, there's going to be some losses, but mm-hmm. it's like, yo, I was so in front of the date. I had everything ready by February 1st. Right. On the day Black History Month started, hit the button. Everything's ready. So if you're ready to buy it now, I can meet up with you. If you're ready to buy it now, I can shoot to the post office. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my boy, I think Matt. Matt. Matter of fact, I think the first day of Black History Month was a Friday. We flew out that Saturday. Like, the homie Matt, and you need people on your team, so it ain't just me. Matt, I got people
Matt,
behind
Matt.
Me.
Shout out to Matt.
Shout out to Matt.
Matt
has
always got your back.
Oh, yeah. Matt, everybody needs a Matt.
Yeah.
That's a shirt in itself. I might make that for him. Everybody, because
he drops everything.
When I say that, like, he is like a brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody needs somebody that's like, without questions, and he has every right to question anything. I got you. You my brother. You know what I'm saying? No, if you need me to help you with this, carry this, set up this, like, the homie got you. But again, it's more people like Matt, it's more people like Levi, my wife, like so many people I can name, but it's people that I don't see every day that call me and like, yo, I see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep going. Like, I got this DM from this dude. I love Instagram. Like, and I love the stuff people post. Cause what's the saying? Like, don't nobody support you like somebody you don't know on Instagram.
That is facts.
Bro, this dude jumped in my DM like 4 weeks ago and was like, bro, I've been following what you were doing. I'm a Norfolk State grad. Like, yo, keep doing your thing, young man. Like, I ain't never met this dude. I met him through DM. And I was like, yo, you don't know how much this means because there's highs and lows with this stuff. Again, there's so many people that like it, but there's just as many people that hate it. I almost stopped doing it because the criticism got to me like 3 years ago. I almost shut everything down. Mm-hmm. Almost had a blowout sale. I was just like, F it. But I made this call to my dad, and my dad was like, are they buying it? I was like, yeah. He's like, then what the hell are we talking about? Excuse my language.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are we talking about? He was like, if you're not ready to be successful, then stop it. He said, but if you're ready to be successful, get used to it.
That is true. Because you know the ones that are probably criticizing it probably thought about it.
Yeah.
And never had the you know, the ounce of, you know, balls to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always going to be a difficult part, just getting it going.
And you
not knowing how it's going to go. I can say the same thing about the podcast.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm still in the infancy stages of this podcast. Yeah. I'm nowhere near where I feel I can go, so I get it.
That's, you know, when people ask me about it, because they see they see the rollouts and they see the models and they see the merch and but it's nights where I'm up like I can't sleep, or it's nights where I jump out the bed and I go write something down, or you know what I'm saying, it's nights where, or days where I'm just riding around like, man, I love it. I love it because it's mine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
nobody can take it.
You remember
that
working at Foot Locker and enjoying it, right? And it was
at one point.
Imagine if Foot Locker was yours, or imagine if that store was your franchise. You know what I'm saying? Like Smith, it's mine. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I got this 30% off sale entire weekend. I make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not getting that directive from somebody else. Like that's the beauty of it. Like you know. Rest in peace, Nip. Like Nip talked about ownership.
Yeah.
And. His music, his interviews, been a soundtrack to my own marathon.
For years.
You know what I'm saying? I remember, you know what I'm saying, going to his concerts 2013, you know what I'm saying, in Noda or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, like, people like him, people like Jay, like, they talk ownership. And, like, I'm proud of that. Like, I was so proud to get the official trademark in the mail and, like, talk to lawyers over the phone. Like, damn, like, I did something. And it didn't just come from me. Like, I got a team behind me. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So you see me, but it's like, yo, like, it feels good, man. But again, going back to the call out by Wilmo, like, I got stuff coming. And I heard them loud and clear. And I like that because sometimes, like Dame, they woke Dame up. Dame always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Dame always been that scorer. You know what I'm saying? But now everybody, like,
they're paying attention now.
I want to see where Dame – I've always, I'm not saying that I'm him,
yeah.
But I've always been here.
You got to have that attitude, though.
You do. But I'm also humble, too. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that it's a lot of arrogant people out here with brands and all this stuff. But it's like, I got a lane. I know how to be successful. I know how to talk to people. I know how to communicate a message. But it's like, yo, I got stuff coming. But what I heard from him was like, yo, that's great. You're doing your thing. Just do more.
So shout out to Wilmo on that. Yeah. Man. I wanted to make sure I played that for you.
Yeah.
Cause I go back and listen to it. I mean, I understand he's talking to you, but I listen to it because I get in my mindset about things that I want to do, and I'm thinking to myself like, damn.
But is that the puzzle though? You know, we talked about it earlier, but you know, one thing I tell anybody, and I'll say this back to him on this platform is like, I can't let anybody rush my process. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's what he was doing.
No, I want to be clear. I get exactly what you're saying. Because when it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah.
But of course, like other people.
I got stuff cooking, bro.
Right, right.
It's just a matter of hitting the button. Uh-huh. It's just a matter of like, again.
But it's also the ultimate respect because that's somebody also saying to themselves, I see what this person is doing.
Yeah.
But he also had a foresight to say, okay, I see where this can, I see what's going to happen in the future. So, I mean, it's a give a, you know, it's a give or take, but you need those type of comments.
I'm learning too, though. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I mean, you got to understand, like Smith, the brand, everybody went to this school, but everybody don't rock with it. No. So, you have this group of people that went to this school, graduated from the school, attended school, but then you have a smaller circle of the people that's like, you know what, I'll put that across my chest. Or I'll wear that, or I'll put that on my head. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the circle gets smaller. So I find myself trying to be creative, but trying to figure out, like, how can I reach these people? How can I reach these people again? And how can I reach these people that I haven't reached yet? How can I get this person that I know went to this school that I ain't purchased nothing yet? Is it another color? Is it another language? What is it? Is it China's hockey jersey? You know what I'm saying? Like, I got people out there that almost purchased everything I put out. But I got people that, like, they say they happy for me, but they ain't never purchased nothing.
That's true.
So how can I get that person? So, again, when you are an entrepreneur and you're doing this yourself, you're trying to be creative, you're trying to influence, you're trying to market, you're trying to do all these things, all while having a full-time job.
And other things.
And other things.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I'm always tell you salute on that. I just thought that was a real thing about that. I'm going to talk to you about a couple things offline in regards to that. But I guess the kind of – so with that being said, when you talk about the puzzle, we talked about certain people. We talked about Miss Jessica. We talked about Kitch. We talked about Wilmo, Carrick. To me, that's a puzzle in itself. But we're all different puzzles. So with Charlotte, what do you think – I think the biggest thing that Charlotte has when it comes to being an untapped market, I think what a lot of people are doing now is they're really starting to get away from you're a competitor. You know, I think they're actually having conversations with their peers, with people that you may do the same thing that you're doing, but you're talking. So how do you see Charlotte moving to get to that upper echelon of the Atlantas and the Houstons? And things like that. What do you think it's going to take for us to do
that? I was just about to say, so like my little brother's really tapped into the music scene in Atlanta because that's where he lives. Mm-hmm. And he always talks about that. Like he like, that's what made and is making Atlanta the new sound of hip hop.
Right.
Because you have so many artists collabing with each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got all these artists, but you see Thug with Future. You see Future with this one. You see Migos with Lil Baby, you know what I'm saying? You see Lil Baby with Gucci. You know what I'm saying? You see all these people and the list goes on. But the point he was making, and to your point, is like, you have to collab. You have to like figure out like, okay, we're going to make 2 + 2, 22 instead of 4.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how can we put our efforts together? How can you bring your platform over here, you bring your audience over here, and how can we get them to meet us over here and make a transaction?
Right.
Or, like, you know, what Winston was doing, what he's done in the past with his thing over at Camp North End. I remember getting the message like, yo, you're a homeowner, you're this. So, again, let's get all these people to this party, but let's also feed them information.
Fact.
You know what I mean? So take what you've learned, take what you've gathered, and bring it here. But that's what people in Charlotte, I see, are doing from afar. I haven't really got a chance to – I got some collabs in the works, but – it's different for me in a sense from what I'm doing, but I'm always a resource, especially to the younger people, especially to the cats online. Like, they'll jump in my DM and ask questions or like, yo, who do you use for this? Who are you using? The hardest part about this is being unique,
right?
But also being able to share some information. You know, like, I got this from my man Marcus. He used to always say this, like, the game is to be sold, not to be told. Like, everything has a price. You can't just share all the information, you know, without some. So that's why people do consultations. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'll help you out, but it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I remember, like, trying to get my joint trademarked, and, like, I'm going to like some of my friends that are attorneys, and they're like, yeah, $100 an hour. I'll talk to you. And I'm like, all right. You know what I'm saying? I thought I could just take you to Midnight Diner and we could just, you know what I'm saying?
I was checking like the waffles, man.
But it's a 2-hour minimum. So I'm already out of $200. So this could be a 30-minute meeting. And you got $200 for me. But it's information. You know what I'm saying? But I just say all that to say, like, I see, I saw what Professor King and, like, Dave Haswings, they collab, bringing their audiences together. You know what I'm saying? I see. Like, Charlotte is so small, especially for influencers and creators. Like, I see all these people, like, coming together. Like, I'm rocking, you know, the Damn It Wesley shirt right now. Just, again, supporting each other. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, like, I'm learning. The hardest thing about being an entrepreneur is, like, support looks different for everybody. You know what I'm saying? And you can't get mad when people don't support you. You can't get mad when people don't repost you. You just keep grinding.
And I know I keep saying, I probably say this every every recording.
Yeah.
And I like to always kind of make it clear, because I want people to understand that you just kind of touched it on the head. Your closest people to you is not going to probably put the stuff out the way you feel they should, even if you even care about
that. They're actually the ones that want it for free the most.
Pretty much. And you know, it's just like with me with a podcast. I mean, my closest friends don't really – they know I'm doing it, but they don't listen. But at the same time, I'm not mad at it.
But why do you think, okay, you drop episodes how often?
When I do it, I do it weekly.
All right. So why doesn't Eric, this podcast, get reposted, but Beyonce drops, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not knocking people that do either or don't do. But how come it's so easy for us to, because would that make, and I'm asking a hypothetical, because I support and I press the repost button as much as I can. If you be like, yo, tagged it, like comment, you know what I mean? You don't see how people like in their comments, like, yo, tag this person. I'm trying to get this celebrity's attention or whatever. But why is it so easy for us to support strangers than to support people closest to us? I got a question for you. Why is it that?
That's a good question. I think
is it that because
I think it's a lot of I'm not ranking any part of these, and I'm nor to say that all of this would be true, but here's some of the ideas that I think envy could be one of them, jealousy could be another, the fact that maybe this is something that you wanted to do and you couldn't do it, or you may not believe.
Yeah.
I think the other side of that is, I think they do believe, but maybe their mind saying, you got the audience that you're reaching. You know, this is not my interest, so I'm not. Or they'll say, well, but you know I listen.
Yeah.
Or you know I've copped this shirt.
Right.
But it got to go further than, you know, go further than you. So that's the only way I could say it. That's one of those, that's a $1 million question that I've always tried to answer.
I think it's, it can be answered in many ways, but I think at its core, there's something in us that says, if I push him, or if I push them, or if I push her, they get ahead of me. So it's easier to support somebody already successful than somebody in the process of being successful. Not saying that you aren't successful, I'm not successful, but we're all becoming something.
Right, and I think at times, as your friend or your family member, you haven't arrived yet, or it takes a special person to believe in you that much to say, you know what, I'm a push you in the forefront.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use that.
But people have every right to repost or retweet or whatever, but it's like, yo, like, what I love about social media is, like, I rarely ask people to repost me or to, like, yo, push this out. Mm-hmm. I'll pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's my man from HBCU, Pride Nation? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes he'll have opportunities for us to, like, get posts, and I'll do that. But I'm not in his, though, like, yo, because I know you got X amount of followers and you got a bigger following. I'm not.
And you also know your grind. And you also know your grind is.
But, I mean, the reality of it is, like, I want authentic support. I'm not going to beg nobody. And that's just me. I'm not prideful, but it's like, it becomes a thing where now it's like, yo, people, like, well, if you ain't buying my product or if you ain't then you ain't rock going, that's not the case.
Yeah, that's not the case. And it takes a while to get out of that mindset. I think we've all been there at one point in time in life. Right. I don't care what you say. We've been there at one point in time in life. And I thought like that for a second, but I think it took growth to be like, look, man, just like you went your route as far as going to school or taking that job or taking on these interests, they're doing what they want to do too. So even if it's a friend or not, family or not, they can't take you got to develop thick skin. And it's kind of like what your dad was talking about. Look, man, you want to be a professional
but
successful, you have to think like this.
I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And, again, ownership, and it means so much. Like, I take stuff personal. So, like, I guess it's all access. Because right now, we could DM Nike. Nike ain't going to respond. Mm-hmm. Adidas ain't going to respond. Under Armour ain't going to respond. J. Crew ain't going to respond. But, like, one thing that, like, I hate with a passion is for, like, somebody that, like, I'm friends with, like, nitpick my process. You know what I'm saying? Oh, why?
Why didn't you do this?
Why shipping $8 instead of $6? Well, when I order through Amazon, I'm not Amazon.
I'm me.
You know what I'm saying? But like, that hurts, bro. Like, and I'm gonna sound like the emotional guy right now, but like, it's like, yo, when are we gonna arrive to a point where just like, you know what? If he charging $12 for shipping, or if this costs more at the door, I'm gonna pay it because this my friend.
Right.
And I wanna see them again, like, what's holding us back from just supporting people and just putting our hands down versus like nitpicking, like, well, damn, what's taking so long? One of the things I pride myself on, I did this almost right before I came here. If you order something from me, I'm shipping it out next day.
Yeah.
Like, people who order stuff from me that live in Charlotte, you might get it on a Saturday. If you order it on a Friday, you might get it Saturday. Because that's one thing, and I'm kind of giving away some of my game, and it's okay. But, like, customer service. When we order something, we always wait for the tracking number. We're waiting. I want you to get that product as quick as possible.
Oh, that right there.
Quick.
That's me.
You know what I'm saying? But
it goes a long way because they're going to remember that later on. They're going to remember how legit and how assertive and how fast you were with getting the product out to them.
When you unbox something, think of, like, sneaker culture. Like, there's millions of videos on YouTube about unboxing a shoe,
mm-hmm.
opening up the box, ripping back the paper. Like, it's an experience. So, like, I use my own poly mailers. Sometimes I throw cool stickers in there. I got magnets that I throw in there now. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's an experience, bro. Like, I order stuff from people sometimes just to see what kind of bags they use, how they process their stuff, how they bag their stuff. Not that I'm biting, but I just want to see what the competition doing.
As you should.
You know what I'm saying?
But as you should, man.
To my point, it's like, man, we can become so critical of people who are becoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's unfair. You know what I'm saying? It's like, again, if you just support me. And if you ain't going to support me, don't nitpick. Oh, why is it this? Or why is it that? Bro, my price points. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
your price point is your price
point. My price point is my. But it's like, you don't complain when you go to this store in the mall. Yeah. Or, like, yo, let me get a discount on the homie. You can't do that at DTLR.
That's trash. I hate that.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate that discount.
You can't. Stuff. I mean, and so that's the hardest part about this. It's a lack of support. It's people always want a handout. Like, yo, just support me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a discount. I'm going to pay full price.
I'm always paying full price. But to that point, what you just said, there are times when if people don't think like that. Like, if this person has a product, they're always putting out a product.
Yeah.
And you say, and there may be a time where you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to cop something soon. Yeah. And then let's say you just have that mindset of saying, man, but his prices are just too high.
Yeah.
Let's say it's $50, right? But guess what? You're looking through Instagram, and you see Lex put up there, yo, this weekend it's
30%. 30% off.
There go your discount, right? There go your chance right there to get something that's not at full price.
Yeah.
People don't think about that. Like, even though you may buy stuff at full price, if there's an opportunity to get it, that they're offering, not you.
But, like,
you know, not the customer.
I had to break it down to one of my friends, and they were like, yo, the amount of money I paid, it should be going overnight. And I was like, the option that I have online is a standard shipping, and then you add something else, the weight becomes more. I was like, I ship my own. I have to drive your stuff to the post.
You have to get there.
So
in the midst of your day of working,
what I gotta stop doing is stop explaining myself. That's where, again, my downfall, my potential glitch is. Mm. It should just be like, yo, don't even. Again, we could DM Nike all day. We ain't gonna get no damn response.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I feel the need to explain myself to my friends or to my core people. But it's like, everything don't need an explanation.
It doesn't.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you either gonna support or you not. But it's like, man, like, you paid two extra dollars. Or you paid this or you paid that. But it's like, you either gonna do it or you ain't. Because I know you ain't complaining the Gap. I know you ain't complaining the whatever other retailer you supported. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you either gonna support or not.
That's what's up, man.
You got me in my feelings a little.
Nah, man. Hey, that's the whole purpose of this show, man. I'm glad you did.
I'm sensitive, you know what I'm saying?
But everybody thinks that, I mean, I ain't gonna say everybody thinks that way, but the ones who wants to be successful and want to balance their success with their relationships with their family, their friends, and things of that nature, it's a sensitive topic because of your passion about it and how you're emotionally connected to it. So I think that's a good conversation to have, because I think other people need to. I get it 100%, but I wanted you to touch on that.
It's real, E. I mean, like, I get them calls from family and close friends like, yo, send me a shirt. I'm like, send you the link? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, come on, bro. Like, my shirt's $25, $28, $30.
You spend way more on that blowing on food.
Come on, dog. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
On drinks, and some chicken.
That's one thing, like I pride myself on having affordable merch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I got some more expensive products coming, but it's like $20, $15 shirt? You want me to send it to you for free?
And you pay that for a homecoming for a ticket.
You know what I mean?
Quick.
But it's something about that exchange. And again, we will never admit what that thing is, but it's something about, like, I don't want to see you get ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to support you, but I want to come to your party for free. Well, I want to support, I want to wear your shirt, but I ain't trying to pay for it because I don't want you to have my money. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know what that's about, and we need to let go of that. But it's like, yo, like, we all are becoming something.
It's a generational thing, and that's something that has to be addressed on that's another topic for another day.
It's another topic for another day.
Exactly. But, man, ooh, we talked for a good amount of time.
Yeah.
And which is cool, man, because I wanted to make sure that I touched on everything.
Yeah.
That I wanted to touch on that, man. But I do, again, appreciate you sitting down with your boy, your freshman Kapaja, man, to talk about what you got going on in the city, man. Like Wilmo said, man, I think, when I said it before, I think you got a lot of things going on. You know me, I'm always, any chance I get, I'm putting that out there. Yeah. I do that now. I don't care if I went to Federal State or not.
Yeah.
People that I talk to that went to John C. Smith, I'm like, yo, y'all check, you looking for some different type of merchandise? Yo, check out my man, if you haven't.
Yeah.
Check out my man Lex, man.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And again, like, his comment, I felt it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it in a positive way.
Yeah.
Not in like, oh, he called me out. Like, I joke about the Summer Jam screen because we know what that represented at the time.
Right.
But, like, he bigged me up. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like when Kendrick was on Control and he was like, and that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale. You know what I'm saying? He was like, he bigged them up in a way. Well, that was a diss, but he bigged them up too. You know what I'm saying? But like that played in my head. Like, yo, like, all right, bet. But again, I tell anybody, bro, I'm in that lab cooking. I'm in that lab cooking. No, like, because I look at it differently now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, and you might not understand this, with somebody on his, they're like, well, why'd you start a business or why'd you shut a t-shirt line? If you didn't look at it that way then, because I didn't know if they were gonna stop me. I didn't know if there was gonna be a roadblock. Bro.
But you gotta shoot the shot.
I got the green light. I'm talking about like past president. Like I did a shirt for Dr. Yancey.
Yeah, I saw that.
Her folks ate it up. They loved it. They supported it. They didn't ask for anything free. I sent them. They bought more. You know what I'm saying? The old president loved it. The current president. Somebody from his office the other day, I was on campus doing an event. He's like, I work in the president's office, bro. I love this. He bought three things, no question. And was like, yo, add me to your distribution list. Like, those are the, like, silent pats on the back that I pray about. Like, yo, like, show me that this is working. Show me that this is connecting with people. I know it is. You know what I'm saying?
But, right.
like, again, I can't see myself. Sometimes I can't see what I do. Sometimes I look at a room full of merchandise, but I forget that I've shipped out X amount of things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. But let everybody know where they can find you at, man.
Yeah, man. Lex Bibbs on Instagram, LexBibbs. I will follow you back. Lex Bibbs on Twitter. And if you're still old and feel like you're in college and you use Facebook every day, Lex Bibby. Do you still use Facebook every day?
I do.
That's weird to me. But I ain't judging you. Facebook was it like a long time ago.
I'm still up there because I still got a lot of, got a lot of.
It's like different channels, right? Like, that's the family channel, Instagram, you kind of Twitter.
I do, man. I'm trying to get back into Twitter. I was heavy on it at one point.
Same here, bro.
But it's hard for me to.
Twitter, people forget how popping Twitter is. But like, Twitter is it, though.
I believe it, man. That's where a lot of stuff going on. But it's just hard for me to get involved with that. But again, appreciate you, bro.
Yep.
This is E-Dub. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. Or if you want to follow me on my Instagram is whogotnext_CLT. And as always, I got to tell everybody on every show, if you got something going on out there, trust me, I'm paying attention. You may get a DM from me
for sure.
or a phone call from me, man, because I do enjoy that. Enjoy what you're doing that much, and I want to sit down and talk to you about it. All right. Till next time. Peace.
Peace.